This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
1 Samuel, the 19th chapter. Something, a nugget of soul laying in there. And I thank God for it because it encouraged me. And all I want to do is share with you what the Lord has shared and given me. Amen. 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 If there's only one or two things you get from this today, you'll get something, I believe. Amen. When you have 1 Samuel, the 19th chapter, and we'll parade and peruse the periphery of verse 18 through verse 24. Amen. But we'll use the whole context of the chapter. Amen. Right. Amen. When you have that, say, I have the word, ready to receive it. Verse 18 of 1 Samuel chapter 19 says, so David fled and escaped and came to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt at Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when he saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they all so prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Sicu. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came unto Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Amen. May God of the blessing, those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. I want to use for a thought on today. I'm excited to preach this for some reason, but I want to use for a title, a tag, a thought, and also have a sub. But I want to use prophetic protection. And the subtitle, the benefit of God's protection in the midst of persecution. Amen. Amen. The benefits of God's presence and protection in the midst of persecution. Amen. Here we are in the book of 1 Samuel. Samuel being the last judge and also the first prophet to Israel. Samuel had the privilege of being the only prophet to anoint two kings. He was able to anoint Saul and David, the first two kings of Israel. Up until this point, Samuel had been the leader of Israel through God's divine hand, amen, because God had actually been their king. And they asked for a king, and Samuel gave them fair warning. He said that when you get this king, he's going to tax you. He's going to draft your sons into war, and he's going to be hard on you. And he gave them the warning, and they said, we want to be like everybody else and have a king. Listen, my brothers and sisters, it's dangerous when you want to be like everybody else. Amen. Let God be the leader. Let God be the king. But when he leads you in your life, don't look to other folks and measure your life and compare yourself to others. And as I always say, I call that comparisonitis. It's a disease that we compare ourselves to others to determine whether or not we are successful or whether or not we are doing what we are supposed to be doing for God. Amen. But they wanted to be like the others, and so he got him a king by the name of Saul, who happened at the beginning to be an humble man who was head and shoulders above the rest. Amen. The Bible even says that he was shoulders and head taller than everybody else. He was a man of great stature, and he also was an humble man at the beginning, but because of his position, he had become a prideful man. Amen. At some point in his life, he decided that he was going to be a priest and he was going to sacrifice to God, which was forbidden because he was not a priest. Amen. Amen. And so here we are. And I'm going to try to fast forward so we won't be all day, but here we are now. Saul has been rejected pretty much, and he was fired on the job. He was still doing the job, but he was fired. Amen. And God had anointed David as king, and he anointed him as king, but David was not functioning as king. See, we got to understand something. You must be patient and wait on God to do what he said he would do. Now, maybe God has told you that he's going to do something in your life, but if you don't have patience, the Bible said, let patience have a what? Perfect work. If you don't have patience, it will not work in your life because you have to wait on the appointed time and season in which God has given you to fulfill what he said he would do. Amen. We can't get frustrated and get impatient and try to do things ourselves. We still have to allow God to work these things in our life. Amen. And so David had been anointed, but David, even though he had been anointed, he had now become famous because, by the way, he was the one that was able to defeat Goliath and the Philistines. Amen. He was able to do something that nobody else could do. Even as a shepherd boy, David came on the scene and he didn't know what God was setting him up for. And see, that's why you got to understand that you make every appointment that God wants you to make, because you never know what God is setting you up for. David was watching sheep, and his daddy called him home and said, why don't you take this to your brothers who are out in the battle, who's out to war? They're in the army of Israel. Go take this food and this cheeses, this drink and all of this. Take this to your brothers and see how they're doing and come back and tell me. See, David wasn't good enough to fight in their battle. He wasn't good enough to be in their army, but he showed up on the scene as a dirty old shepherd boy who came to be just a delivery person. Amen. That's why we don't need to look down at people when they don't seem to be where they are supposed to be. Amen. When they're in a lowly state, that don't mean that they'll always be there, because God may have a plan for them that you may not understand. So here it was, David not expecting to become anything, not expecting to get any recognition, but he shows up and he realizes that they scared. He realized they don't want to fight. They're in the mountains hiding from this giant. And all of a sudden, David said, well, tell me what it is that we can get if we kill this giant. And they begin to tell David, and his brother got mad and say, oh, you just nosy. You just want to see what's going on. Why don't you go where those few little sheep are and get back to doing that, because this is a man's world over here, buddy. So David said, look, I'm just here to see what's going on and go back and tell my daddy. But then David said, look, I'll fight this giant. And David did not expect for him to be famous on that day. But all of a sudden, because he was courageous and he destroyed Goliath, this giant, he became famous. And they begin to sing a song about David. David had killed 10,000 and Saul his thousands. And then after that, Saul made David his armor bearer. David, in order to be an armor bearer, you had to be there for everything. It was like the Secret Service. No matter what they did, you had to be there. You had to be loyal. You know, I was reading something about the Secret Service the other day. Do you know, out of all the 100 and whatever years they've had the Secret Service, not one of them have turned? Not one of them have snitched on anybody. Not one of them had done anything, amen, except protect the president like they should. And so David was just like that. He said, I won't turn. I'm going to be what I'm supposed to be. And so David became captain of thousands. And here it was. Now, we find out in this chapter that all of a sudden Saul now becomes angry with David. Let's look at David's persecution. The Bible says, if you read verse 1 through about verse 17, it talks about David's persecution. It talks about how the Bible says that Saul spake to Jonathan and his servants, and he wanted to kill David. Do you know that when you have success, that sometimes it will make people crazy? Lord help me. Let me say this right and get. Do you know that sometime your success will do just what it did to Saul? David's success on the battlefield and people liking him and people saying good things about him, Saul could not handle it. His success drove Saul mad. It made him paranoid. It made him envious. It made him jealous. And you know, success drives the enemy crazy. That's why God keeps making us successful. That's why God keeps blessing us. That's why people keep, you quit belly aching about people talking about you and not liking you. So what? It's because of success. I hear too many people talk about who don't like them and what they did to them and what they said about them. You need to stop for a minute and realize that they wouldn't be at you if you didn't have something that they liked or that they wanted. Do you know that your success breeds envy in other folks? I'm talking about people who don't know the Lord. Amen. People who say they may say they know, but they don't really know, because they'll know that the same God that blessed me will be the same God that'll bless you. I wish I had a few people in here. We got to understand that sometimes your success will make people crazy. And it made Saul so crazy that he tried to kill David on 8 occasions. He tried to kill him 8 times, but do you know that David still went back to Saul? Now, here it was. Now, David had done, you know, people forget what you've done for them. Amen. They forget how good you've been to them, and they'll get paranoid and envious. You got to watch it. Sometimes it's the people that's right under your nose. Amen. I'm not like the world. The world say, well, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. No, I don't want them that close to me. I don't want them that close to me. Amen. I want to be able to see what they got in their hand. I want to be able to know what their moves are. Come on and say, man. David was so successful. Saul tried to kill him 8 times. Now, it was David that, when Saul was perplexed by a demonic spirit, David was the one that came in with such an anointing in the music ministry that it drove the spirit away from Saul. And it looked like Saul should have been thankful for that, but he wasn't. He took a javelin. He tried to kill David while he was playing. Amen. You know, at some point that Saul should have realized that this is the same David that gave him victory, that made him look like a good king, that made him look victorious to all the other nations. He should have realized that was the same David, but he tried to kill him. And do you know, I realized something, is that David was anointed. David was able to play, and Saul, demonic forces that was working against him, left him. But it came a point that where this was not even demonic. And I know some people start to say, well, it was the devil in Saul. No. Saul had become so caught up in his thoughts to do evil to David that he was past the point of repentance. Amen? He had become so corrupt in his thinking, and that ain't got nothing to do with the devil. We blame the devil for everything. We do. We blame for, and he's sitting over there and saying, me? Did I do that? No, he didn't do that. Saul couldn't stand the fact that David was getting some accolades, that he couldn't stand the fact that the women were singing about David. No, they're supposed to be singing about me, but they put me in the second verse instead of the first verse. I wish I had somebody. They said David killed his 10,000 and Saul his. Put him in the second verse, and he said, I'm supposed to be first. Mm-hmm. So he got to a point that his envy would not allow him to like David. If you read the text, it says that Jonathan, who was David's best friend, who happens to be Saul's son, Jonathan talked to David about what Saul, how he felt about him. And all of a sudden, Jonathan said, well, let me talk to my daddy about you, because he needs to know that you're a good man. He needs to know that. He needs to remember what you've done for him. And so when Jonathan went and reminded Saul of how good David was and how David wasn't out to hurt him, then Saul said, okay, bring David back. And David went out to battle, and he went out and gave Saul victory and came back, played the harp, and Saul tried to kill him again. Isn't that something? How you can help folks out. Now, you didn't ask them to come back. They asked you to come. Lord have mercy here. They ask you for the $1,000, the $100. They ask you for help, a ride, or whatever. They ask you, and then all of a sudden it turned on you. But I wanna make sure we notice David's attitude. David's attitude is that David didn't turn around and try to kill Saul. David said, I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm going to get out of here. Amen. David had an opportunity. Let me tell you this story. David had an opportunity to kill Saul. Saul was relieving himself. And what I mean, and I'm just going to be open with you. What I mean, Saul was stooped down, relieving himself. He had some going on with his stomach. And David came up behind him and cut so close to him, cut the bottom of his garment off that when Saul stood up, he had nothing to cover his backside. And David ran across the way and held up the garment and said, see, this is how close I was. I could have killed you, but I didn't. But then David's heart was pricked that he even touched the garments that Saul wore, that he even exposed Saul's behind. Lord have mercy. So all I'm saying is you don't have to expose people. You got to let God do that. We're too busy trying to tell people who they are, what they did. Stop trying to expose everybody and let God be God. This is what David did. David gave us a great example of turning the other cheek. He gave us a great example of when you're persecuted, you don't try to fight back. You let God fight your battle. For this battle is not yours. It belongs to God. I just want to talk to you. I hope you're blessed already by this. I am. And so David was being persecuted by Saul. And it got to a point that when Saul made a plot one day, he said, look, what we're going to do, I'm going to tell David if he give me victory, I'm going to give him my oldest daughter, which he didn't. He reneged on that promise and gave her to somebody else. But he said to David, he said, I'm going to put you a captain over thousands. He said, I'm going to make you a general in my army, and I want you to go out and fight the hottest battle. And David did that. He thought that David was going to die in battle. But when David beat the Philistines so bad that they ran from him and the people start singing again, Saul got angry all over again. Your success, everybody ain't celebrating with you. Everybody is not happy when you're happy. Oh, come on. The Bible, Paul tells us, rejoice with them that what? Amen. We got to rejoice with them that rejoice. Don't get angry. Don't get upset because God blesses us or blesses me. You need to realize that the same God in your season. If Psalm number one is true, and I believe it is, the Bible says that you shall bring forth your fruit in your season. All of us have a season, and you need to be looking at your season rather than looking at my blessings. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Amen. And so we find not only did David have some persecution, but he had some divine protection. Let's go on here. And David fled. Let's see where we are in the text. Verse number 18. So David fled. David's decided, look, I'm just going to get out of here this time. I'm just going to go my separate way. David fled and escaped and came to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt at Nahoth. Now, what happened here, David falls under divine protection because he went to Samuel. Seemed like David would have went to Jesse's house. Who's Jesse? Jesse is his daddy. You know how we do when we got some trouble. I'm going with my daddy, my brothers, my cousins. I'm going where I know people love me. It seemed like David would have went there, but David decided, no, I'm not going to my family's. I'm not going to the family to talk about what happened because we know if nobody else is with us, they're going to be with us. I know for me, I don't have to say nothing. They just get ready. Hey, somebody said that's right. Amen. So David goes to Samuel, and Samuel, now look what Samuel's name means. Samuel's name means that his name is God. Amen. Samuel means his name is El, or his name is God. Amen. So David runs to the name. Amen. He runs to the name. He wants to go talk to the one who represents the presence of God. It seemed like David would have went somewhere else. He would have went with some people that would have, he thought that would have protected him and got down and fought with him. But he went to a place where Samuel was, and he went to the one place where he felt like he can get in God's presence. And you know, when you're going through something, that's what you ought to do. You ought to go to the place where you can get in God's presence. You ought to go to the place where there is. Not only that, look, but they went to a place called Ramoth, which means a hill, and then Naioth is a place in Ramoth, which means a dwelling. So let me tell you a little bit about that. He went to Samuel. He went to the place where the prophets, or the school of the prophets, was. He went to the place where he knew they was having church all the time. Lord have mercy here. He went to the place where he knew not only that they would be worshiping God, but there would be a word from the Lord. Amen. That the word would be taught. The word would be spoken. The word would be an encouragement. David said, I need to be encouraged. And I believe that from this, David learned how to encourage himself. David learned how to get a word from the Lord. I wish I had somebody in here. If nothing else, whenever I'm being persecuted, I must get a word from God. I hear what you have to say, and I hear what they had to say, but I must hear from God on this, because the only way I'm going to stand and be able to understand what I'm dealing with is if I get a word from the Lord. Oh, come on and say amen here. We have to understand that the word of God and his divine presence is what we need. We have to get in the place of his presence, get in the place where the word is being taught, get in the place where there's a prophetic word. And I'm not talking about just somebody tuning up. I'm talking about something that it hits me home, something that I know I ain't talked to Pastor about, but he talking about the stuff that I talked about just last night, just this morning. I wish I had some people in here today. Somebody going through some stuff right now that I already hit on. You dealing with some folks that's envious and jealous of you. You dealing with some things that people have done. Look, let me tell you something else. If somebody envies you, ain't nothing you can do to them, for them, or at them that'll make them like you. Preach. Ain't nothing. I'm telling you, you can give them all your money, they still hate you. You can give them a ride, they still hate you. You can give them accolades and praise them, and they still will not like you. And I don't care what you do, it's just in them not to like you. You just need to do what David did. Just leave them alone and go get your word. Preach. Tell your neighbor, go. Just leave it alone. Tell your neighbor, leave it alone and go get you a word. David went to go get him a word. David said that I got to get to the place where I know some worship is going on. I can't depend on the folks in the wilderness. I can't, because they all complaining in the wilderness. I can't go to my daddy's house because they might all just be partying. I got to go to the place where I know people got it on their mind to get in the presence of God. I got to go to a place where it's on people's mind that the word of God has to go forth and they're praising God. Come on and say amen in here. And so he went to the place of dwelling for the school of the prophets. This is a place that Samuel developed, a place where people could come and learn how to prophesy, learn how to hear God, learn how to get in God's presence so that God could give a word. I wish I had somebody here. And so there were no weapons at this place. There were nobody fighting at this place, but there was some protection at this place. Amen. And what was the protection? It was just being in God's divine providence. Let's look at this. He said that, and Saul, verse number 20, and Saul sent messages to take David and the company of, and they saw the company of prophets prophesying. They saw them prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them. And so they were all in church. They were having a good time. And Samuel was being the great prophet pastor that he was. He was standing leading the worship service. And when they came up, let's read a little further. Say, when the messengers came up, the messengers, they also begin to prophesy. In other words, we can't do what we intended to do because there's too much presence in this house. We can't do what we intended to do because there's too much power in this house. We can't do what we intended to do because there's too much of an anointing in this house. So if we can't beat them, we might as well. I wish I had somebody in the house. There might be some people you need to look. If they don't like you, invite them to church and say, you know what? You need to come by here because I know there's a word for you. there's a word from the Lord. And when we get in here and start to worship in God, then you never know what might happen. Their heart might turn and they start prophesying. They start singing. They start declaring the works of the Lord. So what does it mean to be in God's providence? It means that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God would lift up a standard. I wish I had somebody. What does it mean to be in the providence of God? It means that no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. And I pretty much gave you all I had. Oh, come on and say hallelujah in here. What does it mean to be in the providence of God? That means if God be for us, then who can be against? Do I have anybody in the house that say, I know God is on my side, so everybody else might as well be too, because I got the presence of God with me. Come on and shout hallelujah. I know you're saying, Pastor, well, what if we can't get into church? What if it's a day we ain't having church? What if it's on a Friday? Well, you are the church. Preach up in here. You are the Bible said, well, two or three are gathered in my name, then I'll be God in the midst. And if you can just do like Paul and Silas, somebody get a song going. Somebody say, Lord, let us pray. And all of a sudden, the power of God will shake the earth. I wish I had somebody. And all the bands of wickedness will be loose so that people will be free to worship the Lord. Oh, come on and say amen. You have the presence of God on the inside. The Bible says that he will endue us with power from on high. The power is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost don't dwell in this building here. The Holy Ghost dwell in this building right here. The building that made with hands, whose builder and maker is the Lord. I wish I had a few people in the house that say, I'm with you, and I understand that as a benefit of the presence and the protection of God in the midst of my persecution, I've been talked about, but that's all right. I've been buked and scorned, but that's all right. I've been beat down. I've been broke, busted, and disgusted. They talked about me like I had a tail, but that's all right. I'm going to praise the Lord, and when I feel his presence, I'm not going to pay any attention to what they had to say or what they tried to do, because they can't help themselves because of the success that God has given me. Do I have anybody in the house? Oh, glory be to God. The Bible said that he sent messengers and they didn't come back because they was prophesying. They was in the worship service. He said, what in the world are those guys? By now, it's only a 90-minute walk to where they had to be. By now, they should have got David and came back. But David said, no, we're going to praise God up in here. And so when he sent a second bunch of messengers, they came up on the scene and they said, where is David? And those messengers, all of a sudden, they fell in line. And they said, we got to worship the Lord too, because I feel his presence. I wish I had somebody in here. When they're acting a fool on your job, I wish you would just raise your hand and say, oh, do you feel that? And they say, what you feel? I feel the Lord. Oh, come on and say amen in here. When they're lying and talking about you and you see them in Walmart, don't go down the other aisle. Go down the same aisle and say, oh, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down. Oh, come on and give God some praise in here. We got to learn how to worship God in the midst of persecution. Worship God in the midst of adversity. Come on and say amen in here. But the thing I love about this is that those soldiers were doing what Saul told them to do. And he sent them three times. He said, won't y'all go get David for me? And every time somebody went, the church got bigger. The church got, oh, come on and say amen. Every time he sent a group, they just joined the church. You see, what we got to do is not worry about the devil that comes in the door, because God, if the devil sends somebody in here, they'll, next thing you know, they'll join the church, because we got, oh, come on and say amen. There is a conversion, because of a conviction, because there is a word from the Lord. Oh, come on and give God some praise in the house today. Oh, glory be to his name. But what I love even more about it is that Saul says, since I couldn't get them to come back, I think I'm going to go see about this my own self. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, Saul said, I'm going to check this thing out myself. And he got on his horse and he rode down to Ramah. And he said, now he stopped at what they call a well. The place CQ, what it means, it really means the lighthouse. He stopped at the lighthouse and he asked the watchers, where is Saul and Samuel? Because he had heard that David had went to Samuel. He knew that I can't do nothing with Samuel, but I'm going to ask him to let me have David. I wish I had somebody. Oh, glory be to God. But he went to the lighthouse and asked them, because he knew.